Hello, welcome to the Transmedia podcast. I'm Natalie Rios, and today we have with us Krishna Stott, who will be talking about the Secret Story Network, which is an experiment in online collaborative storytelling. Welcome, Krishna. Thank you very much for being here with us.
It's a pleasure. Good morning, Natalie.
Morning. Thank you for being here. I want to talk about a project that you recently launched, which is a role-playing interactive experience on WhatsApp called Space is a Bitch. Could you start explaining what is that about and how
sure.
to play it?
Yeah, okay. Well, Space is a Bitch was an episode... A story that was produced as part of the Secret Story Network, and we ran it last Sunday afternoon between 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 5, and it's like an RPG on like a role player game on WhatsApp, and it was very, very exciting. It was it's a science fiction story about a spaceship that goes dark somewhere near Jupiter, and the audience were recruited to come and help as space rangers to rescue somebody from the ship. It was a very interesting experiment. I mean, what we're trying to do is experiment with these kind of collaborative storytelling experiences using technologies like WhatsApp, which is current and very, you know, it's a brilliant piece of technology, WhatsApp. It has its problems, but it's a really great way to have a live experience around the story.
Yeah, because it's like, I think now is the most common messenger platform that people use just to connect. So it's very accessible for people, right?
Yeah, it's a fantastic piece of technology. I'm very, very engaged with it for my own work and my social activity, and that's kind of how it came about. Really, it was an accident whilst I was chatting with somebody, I was chatting with somebody who I work with, and we swapped kind of stories and ideas, and all of a sudden found ourselves in a story at about midnight one night. And it was like, whoa, and I just, whilst it was happening, it was like pictures and story, and then I was being asked to interact, and then they were kind of leaving the story. And I just thought, you know, wow, this could be absolutely massive. This is just so now, it's really current to be kind of interacting in that way, which is kind of where it came from, really. So it was very natural.
Okay, that's really interesting, because when you said that, I wonder if there's anything like it, if people are role playing in WhatsApp in if there are other games like that. So it's the first time I hear about it. So
yeah, I mean, as ever with these sorts of things, I mean, I have my kind of ears open for stuff. I haven't really heard about anything previously, but as soon as I started telling people what we were doing, I heard of some other things. I found some Facebook pages for other kind of WhatsApp interactive story RPG experiences. Somebody else who I'm working with, who runs a game company, said that they're doing a lot of this kind of stuff in Taiwan, apparently, which doesn't surprise me. They're ahead of the curve. And I can definitely see that it's an exciting format that we might see a hell of a lot more of.
That's really interesting. Can you explain us the user journey? How do people find out about the project, and then how do they start role playing, or how do they start experiencing this? For someone who hasn't played it, how is it like?
This is like the fourth time we've done it, and we recruited much wider than we had done previously. People will have found it via Facebook ads, videos, shares, word of mouth. And they would have happened upon the story and the kind of setup of the story, which was based in the setup of the story was made in video, basically. So based on what we learned from other versions of running Secret Story Network episodes, we decided to kind of in a way separate out the large participatory events that the audience gets so engaged with, and separate the story out and make it more high quality, hence video. And then we had like preceding video that was story based in a very much a sort of transmedia story world type of way. We launched a story with our marketing and brought the audience to the event basically over time using lots of different formats from Facebook to email to web to mobile and anything else we could kind of hook people in on really. So they will have kind of happened upon the event that the spaceship kind of getting hit by something in space, going dark, there being somebody trapped on the spaceship, and they start to receive communications, and we're trying to get them to sign up to that kind of feed, really.
Okay, awesome. And then it starts on a day, and it lasts for about 3 hours, you mentioned?
Yeah, we always... It's, that's one of the really magical things about it is having it as a live event, and it's that's just so exciting in a world of on demand and watch what you want, experience what you want when you want it. To actually have to turn up and do something at a specific time gives it a certain magic, which is really special. But we've done them in the evenings, and this one was the first one we did in the afternoon. It ran really over time, this one. That was one problem that we had with it.
Because it just
got slightly out of hand, and the audience were like super engaged, and it was a bit difficult to kind of bring it back to time. But that didn't create too much of a problem. Okay. It's just, you know, these are ongoing issues that we discover as we're kind of doing it, really. But yeah, it's a live event on WhatsApp at a particular time.
That's really, it's so interesting. What was the audience reaction? I mean, you said that they were really engaged, so it ran over time. But what has been the feedback, or what do you take from the audience?
This one was the best yet. I mean, as for the audience, I think for me, maybe some of the previous ones were more interesting. It's so new and exciting that it's hard to quantify it, really. But I think for the audience, this was very, very engaging. I mean, people talked. I mean, we have videos, but they are of a junior engineer who's a girl who's trapped in a room.
Mm-hmm.
She's shot on green screen. And those are the main video pieces. We had all the graphics and the kind of trailer material surrounding the story, and then we had a map that was really very nice that allowed the audience as the rescuers to explore the ship. But that was just a flat graphic. But I mean, the response was that people could see it when they were playing. They could actually see the action. And they were so involved with it that they could see what was happening around them. And really, they're looking at a tiny screen with text on it. And that, to me, is very, very cool, very, very interesting. And that's what I got when I set up, it started as an accident, and we were sort of late at night sort of texting, and this story started happening. That's what happened to me, and that's why I wanted to kind of experiment with this stuff. So the audience reaction has been very, very good. I mean, some people don't like it, but then, you know, it's like Marmite. Some people are going to like it, some people are not. But it's for people who enjoy those kind of interactions and RPGs, I think we've had a good response. We've also had a really good response of people who are not into RPGs, who might be writers, or you know, not necessarily writers or players of RPG. It's kind of, you know, it does find people in an unusual way, I think.
It's had
a good response.
Do you think the format allows them to immerse more in the story? I mean, do you think it's linked to the format or to the platform, or do you think it's more like the collaborative part of it?
I don't know. I'm not a big player of RPGs and Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that, so I don't know what level of immersion and adrenaline people get from that, but I'm aware that it's, you know, people really love that sort of stuff. But it maybe it is something about that format, because you can get pretty hyped when you're on a very, like, sort of fast conversation in a group thing, WhatsApp, and that seems to be something of what's going on, I think, with this collaborative kind of crowd-based story experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe there are... do you see any other potential for this kind of interactive experiences? I mean, do you see other uses, or have you thought about?
I don't know. I mean, I think, interactive storytelling has been like my obsession for 20 years or something. I've used lots of different technology and tried lots of different ways to engage audiences. I think there are a number of different ways this can go forward. I think we're probably, you know, ahead of the curve. We'll see a hell of a lot of these things in a couple of years, because I think chat is really coming back around on mobile devices. Obviously, it was kind of huge in the early days of the internet, and this might be me talking very much in headlines, and it really is from my own perspective, but I can see that mobile chat, WhatsApp type of stuff is just massive at the moment, and I can see that, you know, for us, we're just kind of experimenting, really, and trying to make great stories and engage an audience in a way that they get excited and want more of. But I can see that kind of brands would want to get into this sort of space. And I can see that, you know, in a couple of years' time, marketing agencies would be putting on events like this. And it would be really good. I mean, for me, when we were in the early versions of Secret Story Network, I was kind of trying to figure out if, you know, this kind of experience would, whether you could have like 1,000 people on it, or whether really the business model is more about the technology. And because WhatsApp can be a little bit limiting in terms of how you set up the story. A lot of the preparation involves me running around trying to borrow phones and buy new SIM cards and get it all set. Absolute swine. I wasted days and days with that. But that, you know, I think WhatsApp is a very solid state technology. I don't know. I think there's a number of different ways it could go from here.
That's interesting. Can you, now that you said that, like, what all the logistics that goes behind it, you know, it's in WhatsApp, but still you had to find SIM cards and all of this. Can you talk about a little bit about the creative process, the writing, the logistics behind it, all of it? How was it? The teamwork? I don't know if you worked with a large group of people, or how do you design the story, and how do you design the interaction in WhatsApp?
Yeah, the first few Secret Story Networks were around a story called Circus of Defeat, which involved two kind of agents from a non-governmental international agency of spies, and ended up with a story in Zaragoza in Spain. I mean, it really went in a very unusual direction. We had no idea that that's what was going to happen. And along the way, we tried different things with the story, and we failed a lot, and we found out a lot of interesting stuff, and we had some successes with that. When it came to do Space is a Bitch, we had learned quite a lot about, you know, what the audience en masse were going to be wanting to do, how they would react and respond to certain things. So we really designed the story, like I say, separating out the large participatory events, bookending it with media, using story all the way through from the marketing. But the story is kind of the top-down narrative story is coming in these bookended videos, really, and then managed by an MC. Logistically, it took a long time to sort of really nail the script, and then we shot the video, which was you know, it was considerable effort, really. And I'm working with Ella Gasparov, who's based in Croatia, and Lee Robinson, who is based in Manchester and Bolton, and we all worked really hard on it. We all kind of we all collaborated on the story and the format coming out of our previous experiments. Lee scripted the story, and then we shot it using an actress that we know called Eve Shotton, who's really brilliant, and we'd use her in another story game that we've been working on. But it's a considerable amount of effort.
Yeah.
And not a huge amount of money, but some money. And recruiting was really, really hard, really difficult on this. Because I think WhatsApp, if you send somebody a WhatsApp link, I think the first impression that it might be like spam. And if you get involved in somebody else's WhatsApp stream, you might be getting spammed. And that's a little bit unfortunate because we, you know, we have very honourable intentions for our audience. We don't wish to spam them. They can unsubscribe at any point. But these kind of things we're learning on the fly, really. Recruitment was one of the hardest things.
I think people might feel like because they use WhatsApp for personal reasons, you know, it's a way they communicate with their contacts. So they might prefer something more distant to that. I mean, it could. I see that it could maybe be a little bit of I don't want to get involved in a WhatsApp story. So maybe that's something that we need to think.
It's a strange thing, and you know the perception. I don't know exactly. Although we try, we poll our audience. We ask for feedback all the time. So, but what we can't really do is get feedback off the people who don't sign up.
Yeah.
That don't turn up, and we only really manage to successfully get feedback from people who have experienced it. So we get a lot of positive feedback, but it's difficult to know why people don't sign up, for example. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's true. That when you say that about the script and the story and the video making, I'm interested in when the experience is taking place, how much do you have to script and prepare before that? I mean, you as the master of the game, or I don't know if you are exactly the master of the game, you know, but is it guided or is it more like everyone has agency and it just takes, it is alive and you don't have to script much or you don't have certain rules on it? I mean, I'm interested in when you actually play it, how much is there programmed and how much guidance is there?
Yeah. I mean, it's Lee Robinson was the MC, the sort of the master of the story in this one. It's very much a balancing act between story and interaction. I mean, really, we should have locked it down more in order to not go over time so much. But it was so interesting to see what the audience wanted to do at the time. In the past, we'd spent more time and effort really finally plotting elements of story of the characters. And in one particular episode, like the audience got involved in this massive kind of event in a casino, and they just weren't interested in the story. And that was really disheartening. And it was a bitter pill to swallow, really, because we'd spent an awful lot of time. This is on a previous episode, one of the Circus of Defeat episodes. So it's hard to know, but I think we got it. We did get the right balance this time. It's just the timing went a bit wrong. And it is difficult because, you know, as you'll know, and anybody who's involved in interactive media and kind of getting an audience involved in something, the first thing an audience tend to do when they come to something new is do exactly the opposite. One or something that is completely going to screw your story.
Yeah.
And you can't help that, and you have to be flexible and responsive in a way to that. And that's part of the fun as well. I mean, it can be really hair-raising, but it can be extremely exciting as well. But that's why it's good fun.
Yeah. I think it's kind of good to think about the analogy. When you write a story, people say, well, writers say that the story it's alive and it takes form on its own. It's like almost the writer is not writing the story is writing itself. So this is a little bit like that. You created a story in the previous experience, you created a story, but then it took another path. So it's about balancing that, how much story you create before, because you know that the story is going to build itself by the audience and the group.
So. Absolutely. I mean, I really like that Frank Rose book. I can't remember what it's called. Frank Rose, is it The Art of Illusion or something? I can't remember. I'll dig it out. We can put the link in the text.
Perfect.
Is it The Art? No, it's The Art of Illusion, I think. And it is interesting because we're so used to kind of media, linear media, and kind of having story dictated to us that it's easy to forget that even with a linear story, a book or a film or something like that, so much of the story takes place in our own imagination. And participative storytelling, collaborative storytelling, really just adds another layer to that, another layer of intricacy and complexity, and that has its kind of good and bad elements. But it really, you know, it's not just, even with a conventional story, it's not just on the page or on the screen. So much of it is in our imagination. And when you put that into a hive mind imagination with lots of people, you know, wow, it's pretty mad what can happen.
Exactly. It's incredible. Did you do any user testing? I don't know, because it's a live event, so I don't know how you would, but I wonder if you did any, like, a play test before and made any changes.
We have to test on the events, and each event following on, we've learned from, and we make things better based on what we understand about the audience. We can't, impossible, because it's so much of it has to be live that it's,
yeah,
you can't do it.
And what would you say were the biggest challenges, or have been the biggest challenges?
Oof.
All of it.
Biggest challenges. Recruitment is, like, getting people to the story is really, really challenging. Especially when we spread it wider. When we were doing a more personal invite type of thing, obviously we've got, it's a referral mindset and there's a lot of trust, but when you go to a wider audience, it's a little bit tricky. So recruitment is really challenging. Like I say, the kind of getting all the different WhatsApp accounts set up. I mean, if anybody wanted to go and make one of these, it is fairly straightforward to do it.
Yeah.
But setting up your phones and your WhatsApp accounts is really a pain in the ass, and it can take, one of the episodes I was running around for a day and a half just sorting that stuff out, and nearly having a nervous breakdown about it, because we knew that people were going to turn up and we couldn't set user accounts, and that's purely because WhatsApp has a security methodology based on it being about personal interactions and chat, that for us to then want to invent a load of characters,
yeah,
set things up in a way that suits a story, it's like WhatsApp is not set up to do that at all. So recruitment, the sort of WhatsApp setup, and what else? I think those are the main things, really. Those are the main difficulties.
That's good. That's interesting. Yeah. Would you like to talk about a bit about the Secret Story Network, the story, and what you're doing now, and where the idea come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea purely came from that one late night chat where a story emerged, and that sort of set my brain on fire, and then we've been trying different things since, really. I mean, where we go from here, I'm not exactly sure. I think there's definitely something in the RPG type of WhatsApp type of experience, like Space is a Bitch. I mean, for me, I'm also interested in whether it could be used in a slightly different way, and to have maybe a smaller group of invited kind of creatives and interested parties, where it's a live event, but not really public facing. It's a live event for the participants, where we create a story, maybe between two groups. So we make two groups. One is like a work group and one is like story group. And we try and make a story in 2 hours with like 6 or 10 people, with whatever we've got to hand, taking pictures, taking video, writing text. And we aim to publish it the next day. So we just take the transcript and the media and we make like either a multimedia web page or some kind of something interactive that reflects that story. Because for me, if we're looking for larger audiences with the kind of RPG stuff, we're dealing with genre-based stuff, the whole RPG thing, you can get people who are just acting like dicks, and that's not much fun, really. There's an element where it kind of comes down to lowest common denominator. Whereas, you know, I'm very interested in quirky stories and interesting people and doing something that's not so populist, for example. So that's one thing that I want to try. We might do that with a couple of events, because also the idea that you get like some really great brains on a new story, possibly responding to an event or from an idea. And that can be made and published very quickly, and it's like a super interesting story that basically then anybody can experience, but it's made in the collaborative way. I mean, that's one thing that I'd like to try. And then with, you know, what the commercial possibilities are, I'm not sure, but I think it would certainly be interesting to sort of try and figure out a technology build to do something like this, because I think you could take the kind of WhatsApp concept. Obviously, they must have like an incredible array of servers and technology really making that work efficiently, much more than I could organize. But the design of an interface that allows storytelling to happen like this would also be a really interesting way to take it. And that way, you can also, I guess, you become like a platform like Facebook, because, you know, if we wanted to make events and stories for like 1,000+ people every week, it's a lot of effort to shoot a lot of material, a lot of marketing, and a lot of media to generate and rights to sort out. Whereas, you know, if you look at the Facebook model, people share what they want. They can make stories. Facebook people are making stories out of whatever they want, and it's like, you know, you can use whatever music you can find and all that sort of thing. And that, if we're only providing the technology for other people to make a story, then they can use whatever media they want. We don't have to worry about it. And maybe it's a facilitator kind of play is also quite interesting to build technology and allow others to make the story, a bit like building, you know, about like selling Dungeons and Dragons boxes and books. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's really good. You mentioned that this is part of Heroes, Villains, Gamers. Would you like to?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Heroes, Villains, Gamers is something that I started up that came out of Bellyfield, which is a company that I've been running for like 10 years. And Heroes, Villains, Gamers is really set up to make interactive stories and games. So Secret Story Network kind of lives under that company, and we're doing some really interesting stuff there. We did a really nice interactive story called The In Girls, which I think is on the Conductor site somewhere, and that's something that we made with Conductor. And we've been writing a lot and experimenting with some stuff, and we've just got a new story that we're about to sort of start a campaign on. Where people can kind of follow the whole campaign really from beginning to end, and that's a story called Wake Up Call, and it's about what's it about? It's about the user is a student who wakes up in the dark in a house, and they don't know where they are. They've got no clothes on. They've got no money. They don't know what happened, but there was obviously like a crazy party last night. What they do know is that they've got an exam, their final exam, in less than an hour over the other side of town. And if they don't get there, their whole life is screwed. Their parents will never speak to them, and they will end up a bum the rest of their life. It's a massive caper. And it's a game with a lot of full motion video and interactivity. It's a bit like the kind of After Hours kind of story, the Scorsese film, where you've got nothing, but you've got to get somewhere, and everything is sort of set against you. And we've managed to get, although I've yet to sort of sign any contract, we've got somebody really, like a really well-known actor to be in it, and a really well-known singer and songwriter. And so that's really good. That's going to get us started. And so, you know, it'd really be great if people want to follow the story of that story as we sort of make it, which we'll, you know, can share the links for that. For the Heroes, Villains, there's a website, www.heroesvillainsgamers.com, which, you know, we'll, people can sign up for information or follow what's happening from there. I mean, Heroes, Villains, Gamers, it's kind of conceptual at the moment, although we've made a few things, and, you know, this next story is really is trying to get us to reach our intended audience.
Great. I'll share the link. The listeners will see the link in the
And also, while we're on links, I mean, if people want to follow what we're doing specifically with Secret Story Network, the best place to connect with us is probably on Facebook, which is facebook.com/secretstorynetwork. There's a page there where we'll post. You know, we might have a replay of what we've just done with Space as a Bitch. There's replays of some of the other stories that people can see. And whatever happens in the future will happen there. But I don't know if we're going to do an RPG next or one of these kind of collaborative storytelling experiences. I don't know what's happened next. But it's always...
It's exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. That's why, although, you know, it started because I could see the potential of this kind of thing, of this kind of collaborative storytelling on WhatsApp, I think... Everything we've done has been an experiment. It's all about research. It's all about asking questions and not knowing the answers. And, yeah, that is really exciting. And, you know, we're learning a lot. And, you know, even if it's not directly useful for telling stories on WhatsApp, this kind of audience engagement and storytelling, it's brilliant because you just know how to do things on other projects like the game.
Yes.
Or another story, or a campaign that's running for something else. These things that we learn about audiences and stories are fascinating. And
yeah, it is, especially audience engagement, because I think that's a key part. That's something that almost everyone is interested in. They want to engage their audiences. So this kind of experiment really give you feedback about that. So.
Absolutely.
Really interesting. Do you have any closing thoughts? Because you've been a fan and an advocate of interactive storytelling, and it's been like a passion to you. So I wonder if you have any closing thought about why it's powerful and why we should do it, keep doing it.
I can only think that it's just... Interactivity is as much part of stories as anything else about a story, about somebody writing dialogue or making pictures that explain a story. I think the interactivity, the kind of connection with the audience is paramount. And we forget that really, because we're coming off the back of the late 20th century, which was all about distribution and shifting boxes and product, which were pre-authored. And you know, obviously, the authored story is a wonderful thing, but as we talked about, some of that takes place in the mind of the viewer and the reader or the viewer, and that is interactive. And then, you know, technology is allowing such a greater relationship and a greater amount of communication between a story, its author and its audience, and the audience communicating with each other as well. But I think interactivity and interactive stories, it's not a new thing. It's just that the technology is allowing us to really do it in a big way, in a way that's kind of interesting and empowering and unusual, really, compared to what I see is the late 20th century business model of, you know, publishing and distributing. We're at a stage where the audience has power, they have a voice, and they really want to be involved in a way that, you know, that we should allow them, and it's part of storytelling, it's natural.
Yeah, I love that it's not actually new. The reader has always been part of the story.
Exactly.
So I think that's a very good closing thought. So Krishna, thank you very much for sharing all your experience and insights with us. And please, listeners, go to the Facebook of Secret Story Network, and I'll do the same, and hopefully we'll join the next adventure. So thank you very much for being here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Fantastic. It was a pleasure. Really nice. Thank you.
Bye.
See you later. Thank you.